Well, it's been a beautiful worship service so far, hasn't it? We've sung so many beautiful songs. We have prayed together. And now as we open the Word briefly, I just ask that you might be sensitive to what God is saying to us. Today, the sermon is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to be focusing on the names of Jesus in a way. And so looking at the Old Testament, what Isaiah says, and then looking at the New Testament and how it's fulfilled. And so that is an important part of our sermon today. As you know, we have had the theme, what are you waiting for? What are we waiting for? The first Sunday, we talked about waiting for the reign of peace. The second Sunday, we talked about waiting for the signs of hope. The third Sunday, last Sunday, waiting for the embrace of joy. And today, waiting for the incarnation of love. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for a child to be born. Not just any ordinary child that would be born, but a child born of a virgin called Emmanuel. You see, children are so important in God's love for his world. Not just as adults, but as children. And the name that we give our children is significant. I know before our children were born, Carol and I worked together. We said, what are we going to name this baby? And I'm sure every parent here, when they've had a baby, they've decided, what are we going to name this baby? Because this baby is important, and this name will stay with the child. And along the way, the name may change a little bit, or sometimes people take the second name or change their first name just a little bit and shorten it, and so on. So names are very important. And you know, in the Old Testament, there are some names of children. So you think of Abraham and Sarah, they gave birth to Isaac and Ishmael. Isaac and Rebekah, they gave birth to Jacob. And these are recorded. They're so important. And Jacob and Rachel gave birth to Joseph. And you can see how the line of the covenant follows these children. It's not just as adults, but as children. They're very important in the mind of God. Moses. What would have happened had his mother not put him in this river and Pharaoh's daughter took him and adopted him and protected him from being killed? Or Samuel, whose mother, Hannah, couldn't have a baby. And so she was praying and hoping. And all of a sudden, his baby came and she gave this baby back to the Lord. And he became a prophet. Jeremiah. What do we know about Jeremiah? Well, one of the things we know about him is that God says to him, I knew you before you were born. Wow. And so today I want to focus on the names that Isaiah gave to the coming Messiah. So what were they waiting for? They were waiting for a son to be born. And this son's name would be Emmanuel. And this son would rescue them, would be something that would come, someone who would come in and rescue the people. And that's so important. We read earlier on in Psalm 80, the name means Savior for all the people. And this is echoed in Psalm 80, verse 7. Restore us, God Almighty. Make your face shine on us that we may be saved. And so there's a sense that Emmanuel was coming who would save the people from their sin. And we see that recorded in Matthew 1 as we read it before just recently. He will save his people from their sins. His name will be Jesus. This was the message that the angel gave to Joseph. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So when God comes with us, there's something unique about that person. There's something bigger than we could ever imagine. And so some of these names, as we think of Emmanuel, God with us, how do we imagine that? How do we think that this God of creation becomes a person? It's hard to understand that. It's hard to fathom that. And so we'll explore that a little bit more. And if you look in Isaiah, there's another name that we refer to. This person who is going to come is one who is the wisdom of God. Look at Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And so embedded in Isaiah is this idea that when Emmanuel comes, when this person comes, he's going to have the wisdom of God. That's amazing. That helps to expand our vision and our scope and understanding of who this person might be. We see that this is fulfilled as Paul looks back on the birth and work of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 to 32, he says, "It is because of him that you are in Christ, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts in the Lord." And so you get this sense that when this Emmanuel come, another name was the wisdom from God. Contained in that wisdom is so much depth and so much understanding of righteousness and redemption and so on. Another name is the one who is the sacred one. In Isaiah chapter 11, verses 3 to 5, he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy, and with justice he will give decisions for the poor on the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The sacred one. And in Luke chapter 1, verses 50 to 53, Mary says, "His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud with their inmost thoughts. He has brought down the rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty." And another name is the one who is from the root of Jesse. Isaiah chapter 1, 11, verse 1 and 10. "A shoot will come from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit." And then verse 10. "In that day the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for all people." Where do we see that? In Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The first verse in the New Testament says, "And the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David." So he has the connections that go way back to Jesse. And then later, as we mentioned before, but this time to look at a little different part of this verse. "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David.'" Oh, there's some connections back to the root of Jesse again. So it's really powerful. And another name is one who holds the key of David. Isaiah 9, verse 7 says, "Of the generations of his government and peace there will be no end." Actually, the verses before tell us that, "For unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And then it says this, "Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And then let's take a look in Matthew chapter 16, verses 19 to 20. Now the context here is different. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he asks them this question. He says, "Who do they say that I am?" And he's talking about the people. And then he turns to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter blurts it out, "You are Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the promised one." And then Jesus says this, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. An interesting commentary that he says, don't tell anybody. But sometimes when you say, don't tell anybody, the word gets out anyway, right? Because it becomes a secret that they passed on. Don't tell anybody, but here's the secret. The keys of the kingdom. Fascinating. Now the keys are not only in the Messiah, but the keys come to those in the kingdom of heaven. And he's given us these keys, the keys of David. And now the keys of David are given to us. And this is followed up in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. "And to the angel and the church of Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds," what? "The key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open." Fascinating. So there's this sense that the name of is embedded in here as the one who has the keys, who can open doors. Open doors of our lives, open doors of opportunity, open doors of his kingdom that will be amazing. So another name that comes out of Isaiah is the one who comes as the glorious dawn. Isaiah 9, 1 and 2 says, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee by the nations, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan." Listen to this. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." And what do we find in the New Testament? In Luke chapter 1, 78 to 79 says, "Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven and shine on those living in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the paths of peace." It's amazing. These names come out of Isaiah and they come back in the New Testament about this Emmanuel, this God with us. We're not finished. The one who comes will be the King of all nations. And Isaiah 28, 16 and 17 says, "So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone." Think of that word, cornerstone. "For a sure foundation, the one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line. Hail will sweep away your refuge, the lie, and water will overflow your hiding place." In Ephesians chapter 2, what does Paul say about Jesus? "He came and preached peace to those who are far away and peace to those who are near, for through him we both have access to the Father in by one Spirit." And listen to this. "Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers." This is about the King of the kingdom of God. "But fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation and apostles and prophets, with Christ himself," here it is again, "the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together, becoming a dwelling place which God lives by his Spirit." Isn't that amazing? That we as a church are like a temple in God's presence. And we become, we are built on this cornerstone. and we become and knit together and built together. So, what are we waiting for? The incarnation of love. In John 3:16, we know John says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." In 1 John 4:16, we see John just comes out, and this is an amazing passage of Scripture, but he says, "God is love." And John makes a huge point of this in his gospel and in his letters about the love of God. And so let's look at these names that Isaiah gave the Messiah. And as you look at this, these names, I think your love will grow deeper. You understand this incarnation in a more profound way, and it goes deeper and deeper into our lives and say, wow, is that what love really means? Does love have that embedded in it? So let's take a look. Love, the incarnation of love, is embedded in the Messiah because he is the wisdom of God. Think of that. The Messiah, when Jesus comes, he comes as the wisdom of God. He comes as one who brings that knowledge, who brings that understanding of who God is. Embedded in the incarnation of love is that the Messiah is the sacred God. He's one who we worship, who's one who is above all, is separate from us and yet among us. So profound. And then we say the Messiah is the root of Jesse. It's not just some person rising up from somewhere else, but there is a line of history. There is a line that God has formed that goes back into the history, and a promise that God made to David. And now it comes true, what they're waiting for. They're waiting for the Messiah to come to be the root of Jesse. And so, you know, one of the difficulties in the world that we live in today is that we feel rootless. We don't have the roots. Where do we belong? I struggle with that. I grew up in another country and come here. What is my home? But as we really understand Scripture, we understand our roots are come from who Jesus is. They come from, and as we follow him and as we embrace him into our lives, we're rooted in this great tradition. Embodied, the incarnation of love is embodied in the Messiah as the key of David, the key that unlocks, the key that has the authority to unlock some of the doors that we have. And we all have doors that need to be unlocked in our lives, right? We all have doors that of opportunities that need to be unlocked. We all have doors that, where's God leading us? And this is the key of David. Another one we have embraced the incarnation is that the Messiah is the radiant dawn. Years ago, there was a song, and it was more of a New Age song, and it comes up every now and then. This is the dawning of what? The age of something or another, right? The dawning of Aquarius or something like that. But Jesus is much bigger than that because he's coming as a person. It's just not an idea. It's coming out of a person, and this person has a radiant dawn to it. It's just it has light. Jesus is the light of the world, radiant dawn. Embodied in the Messiah is the King of all nations. Wow, this is amazing. Embodied in the Messiah, in the incarnation, is the Messiah, is God with us. What are we waiting for? We are waiting for the incarnation of love. Now, let me just change this a little bit. In Latin, these names form what is called O antiphones. And you'll start to make a connection here. The Latin name is O sapientia, O come, wisdom from on high. O Adonai, O come, great Lord of might. O radix, O branch of Jesse's stem, come, right? O clavis, O key of David, come. O come, thou bright and morning star, as the Orions. O Rex Gentium, O come, the King of Nations. O Emmanuel, O come, Emmanuel. You're right. These are the songs, the verses of the songs we just sang this morning. You didn't know that they had a history to them. You didn't know, and I didn't know until I started doing this, that they really come out of Isaiah, and some of the names of the Messiah, they come out of Isaiah. So when we sing this hymn, O come, Emmanuel, we are singing a carol that was sung many, many, many years ago. And it's so powerful because it names all these names of Jesus, all these names of the Messiah to come. And just to be sure, John Manson Neal has translated this hymn into English. So just to give him that credit, so let's take a look. In 7 variations, but interrelated ways, they voice the ultimate petition of Scripture, come, Lord Jesus, Revelation 22:20. Collectively, they also suggest Christ's response to that plea. The 7 titles in Latin, Sapientia, Adonai, Radix Jesse, Clavis David, Orions, Rex Gentium, and Emmanuel, are very significant. In reverse order, they form an acrostic, Ero Kras, which means, I am coming soon. Powerful, isn't it? This powerful hymn, this powerful carol that we sing has some depth to it, not only in the words that are used, but there's some depth to it that's not only talking about the coming of this Jesus, this incarnation of love, this one who is going to give his life for us. But when you turn it around, it has even a deeper meaning, because it says, I'm coming soon. And that is the promise that we hold on to. That is the advent that we are going to experience that is yet to come. Let us not forget that. Not in a way that scares us, but in a way that we realize that God is still alive. God has not left us here alone, and he will return. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are the God who came in Jesus. You are Emmanuel, God with us, and that your incarnation, when you came, you are the God of love. And today we have explored some of these names that go much deeper than we could ever imagine. These names that are connected to history, these names that are connected to life right now. And these names that help us understand that you will come soon. So, Lord, help us in our worship to grow deeper, in our love to give more, in our service to be willing to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.